It's the weirdest thing. It's earlier this week. I'm sitting at my chair, on my chair, thinking about the theme of my sermon. I've basically decided that it will be something like, what does it mean to listen to Christ's voice in a world where listening to voices can get you committed? There's a knock on the door. A person I've never seen before. I invite the person in. The person I've never met asks me this person's words. If I might know how to discern the difference between God's voice and other voices. True story. Yes, there was mental health issues involved, and yes, I referred in case you're wondering. But still, the conversation was a really good one. And the convergence of that question in that moment seemed more than a coincidence. But more about that at the end. As we talked, it became clear that this person was not hearing God's voice. Why I say that, and how it is we might know the difference in our own lives, is something that, it turns out, is at the heart of what it means to risk living into the choices that allow resurrection past to become resurrection now. I've been trying to talk about resurrection this Easter season, in a way that might at least have half a chance of speaking to our secular culture. And as I admitted on the second Sunday of Easter, my, dare I say, our secular hearts. Charles Taylor, one of Canada's best-known philosophers, says in his great book, A Secular Age, that one of the chief characteristics of modernity is what he calls the buffered self. He contrasts this to the porous self, a sense of self that feels itself open to be influenced by supernatural forces, either divine or demonic. This sense of the self, this porous sense of the self, was normal before the Reformation. The cross I'm wearing underneath this alb, which you'll see during coffee hour, is a copy of a much larger one from which St. Francis heard the crucified Christ say, "Go rebuild my church." He heard a voice. Now, that was a unique event in the High Middle Ages, but it wasn't unique because the crucified Christ spoke to him. That's the kind of thing that happened in a world where the self was considered porous, fundamentally open to worlds other than the empirical one of sense. It was unique because the message seemed counterintuitive in a culture where churches, monasteries, and indeed the papacy had almost absolute power already. What could it possibly mean for St. Francis to rebuild Christ's church in that setting? That's what made it unique. Now, in case you're interested, it's because of the way Francis went about seeking to rebuild the church and what the Franciscan brothers stand for today that I wear his cross, something I see in Pope Francis as well. Now, in the West, gradually more so in the centuries that followed the Reformation, we live with increasingly buffered selves. If a person is hearing voices, there is something wrong with their biochemistry, we believe. Of course, as in all of these things, the exceptions prove the rule. There are Christian denominations that are more open to a porous understanding of the self than others, and I have learned from some of them. I have experienced some of that myself. But when I say that as a culture we see ourselves as buffered selves, I mean that most people, most Christians, believe that there is no secret frequency of the soul that, if tuned right, will hear something the rest of us can't hear. And furthermore, we tend to believe that that is a very good thing. Even if what Jesus says is true, "My sheep hear my voice." Even if Psalm 23 is right to claim, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures." We're not so sure that's a good thing. You see, we have a cultural memory of what that meant. It goes something like this. The voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, is the voice of an authoritarian church that dictates to us a morality, a certainty of truth. And we're not allowed to process that, let alone question it. We've just got to accept it, or else we'll be made to lie down in not so green pastures, if you know what I mean. But in resisting authoritarianism, rightly, I would say, have we missed something amazing? I think we have. But I think the good news of this morning is that we need not keep missing it. Even if we keep resisting either authoritarian or magical understandings of Christ's voice and guidance. What do I mean? Well, last week I noted that Jesus adapted himself to Peter's speech in their walk along the Galilee lakeshore. God meets us where we're at, as people and as cultures, and that is indeed wonderful news. How might we yet welcome and listen to the voice of Christ in a way that works with the buffered self, the buffered self that we modernists hold dear? Now, here's what I told the person who popped in for a visit. I'm paraphrasing and I'm expanding. Whenever we take the risk of faith to act and to live and to love as if the ultimate truth of the universe is not, "Everyone is out to get me. Everyone is against me." Or, excuse the vernacular, "I'm screwed. I've failed too many times." Or, "I'm not worthy of God's love. God can't love me." Whenever we resist those voices, we're already hearing a whisper of the divine. And when we take the risk of faith to act and live and love as if the ultimate truth of the universe is this, or something like this, even when I'm in a very dark place, the valley of the shadow of death, if you will, from Psalm 23, "You are there with me, your rod and your staff, they are comforting me with their strength." Or even when I'm with people who hate my guts, "You're setting a table, a feast for me." Or in a kind of summary that I think is one of the most beautiful lines in all of the Bible, "Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." When you are making or taking the risk to choose to see the world in those sorts of ways, you're actually hearing Christ's voice very clearly. Now, sometimes the voice is veiled or silenced by other voices screaming in our ear. Psalm 22, which immediately precedes the psalm we just recited together, has the infamous line that Jesus himself cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Sometimes The clarity of Christ's voice is as obvious as a Mount Baker sighting on a beautiful clear day. My favorite spot is just coming over the hill, Mount Lehman exit. Wow. The beauty of art, or of a sacrificial act of love, or the joy that comes with spiritual enlightenment. And yet, ultimately, the voice of Christ is not a feeling. It's more a radical act of trust. In the face of all the good and bad things that happened, it's a persistent looking at our lives and at the life of the world through the lens of trust and openness. In other words, when we take the risk to act and live and love, as if the ultimate truth of the universe is abundant provision and safety, because generosity, capital G, and not scarcity, underlies all things, then we are indeed listening to the voice of Christ, who gives, as our text says today, eternal life, which is God's generous life, God's quality of life, not just everlasting life, but God's quality of life, God's abundance. Then we are freed to live less anxiously, less fearfully, and more courageously, more lovingly. And those responses as well become echoes of Christ's voice. You see how this metaphysic works, how this partnership in listening to the shepherd works. It's not authoritarian, neither is it magical. It's a synergy of radical trust and the giver who loves to give. And this, my new friend, is the true voice you need to listen for. Your life depends on it, really. When we start to live this way, then we won't hear a disembodied voice, whether of Jesus or anyone else, but as Jesus himself said in our gospel, the testimony of his works will be his voice. This fundamental openness in trust is what allows us to hear even more traditional avenues of God's speech, things like liturgy, even sermons occasionally, and the sacraments as Christ speaking to us and in us. But that's, I would say, actually for after the fact. First is this: goodness and mercy are with me, following me, informing my decisions, the way I look at the day when I'm brushing my teeth in front of the mirror. Now, do I know this for sure? No, I don't. But notice, it was Jesus' interlopers in our gospel reading today who demanded to know if he was the Messiah. Tell it to us plainly, they say, or they ask. They were not willing to be led by the voice of goodness evidenced by Jesus' works of love. They wanted certainty. They wanted knowledge that they could control, so they could control him. And Jesus counsels them and us and asks us to take a step of trust. All of them could be sheep if they willingly acted in radical trust. Living into resurrection now is not about certainty. It's about the radical trust of Psalm 23. The trust Jesus' followers develop as they learn to listen to the testimony of what Christ is doing in and through people. And we can learn this trust. That's another really good piece of news. I've put together a short booklet that teaches a prayer called the Examine that explains in more depth what I mean. And Rod Underhill has put that on our website if you're interested, under the liturgy section, I think. In truth, I said to my visitor, You're already listening to the voice of Christ. That's why you came to my study at this moment, on this day. You have no idea how prepared I was to help you today. And in truth, this morning, you and I aren't just buffered selves. We don't just have secular hearts. I believe all of us hear Christ's voice. It's a birthright of our baptism. It's a common grace of our humanity. I know that stretches the text a bit, but I'm willing to say that. We need not throw out the incredible promises of the message just because some of the messengers have abused their power and misconstrued what Christ's voice is and does. You see, we live in a world that is fundamentally lonely and confused. We are too sometimes, for sure, absolutely. Psalm 22 is right beside Psalm 23, as I said. But what an amazing gospel we share. Christ, our Lord, is our good shepherd, not dominating us, but leading us, partnering with us, allowing us to not only hear his voice, but to be a voice that brings hope and healing to the world around us. One stranger, one encounter, one prayer, one act of generosity at a time. With your help, O Lord, we will listen and we will live. Amen.